Other events of great significance also took place in that same upper room in Jerusalem. I want us all to just kind of think back for a few moments as we look and I share with you the three very important acts that took place in that upper room. So let's look at Act 1. John chapter 13. All the readers of the gospel are familiar with the events of that last week in Jesus' life and the events that took place that evening. Several big debates were taken up and crowded in on Jesus since his triumphal entry into the holy city on that previous Sunday. A lot of arguments were taking place, some in favor, some wanted him to be king, others wanted to crucify him. Excitement was running high, even in the disciples' band, because they were looking forward to this great new government that Jesus was going to set up. They were looking forward to that. But first of all, in that upper room, Jesus sets an example that we are to remember all our lives. That no matter who we are, no matter what position we hold, no matter who we are in life, as followers of Jesus, we are to always serve others and one another. Jesus washed the disciples' feet, giving us a great example of servanthood. And he said that we are to practice such in order to remember who we are. Servants of the living God. Servants to one another and others. Next, he eats the Passover with the disciples for the last time. And then Jesus institutes the memorial supper by which he would always be remembered, during which Judas leaves. Peter's self-confidence that shatters as Jesus predicts Peter's denial of Jesus, and then spends a long time teaching them and preparing them for what would happen after his departure. Also during this act, John chapter 14, he says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me." Jesus is the way to the Father, and as we see the life and the love that Jesus, what the ladies just sang about, we also see the Father and the love he has for us. And Jesus continues, "I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father." And then he gives the promise of the Holy Spirit. John 15, "I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they'll produce more fruit." Are you hurting yet? How is your fruit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. How is your fruit? Does Jesus need to prune us a little more to make it better, sweeter, more compatible? There are times when the pruning really hurts. But friends, in the end, it's worth it. The trials we go through, the challenges we have, nothing but pruning taking place. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Because it's worth it. We will become better persons because of the pruning. Remember, the world hated Jesus, he says, and it will also hate us. John 16. But remember, the Holy Spirit lives in you, each and every one of us, and will communicate to us whatever Jesus gives him to say. Do you believe that? The Spirit dwells in you. And Jesus then again tells them that he's going to experience something that's going to make them sad, and then will come joy. The cross. The resurrection. And that takes us to the second act now that took place in the upper room. Act 2. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of Jewish leaders. And suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. And as he spoke, he showed them the wounds of his hands and his side. They were filled with joy as they saw the Lord. And one of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed Twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. So in Act 2, it's where you're looking up the room for the second time. Following Jesus' arrest, his trials, his crucifixion, the disciples were gathered together in that room, totally fearful. They saw what they did to Jesus. And they knew likely that they were next. They were probably whispering to one another, hoping that nobody would hear them. The past 3 days had been unbelievable, tragic. The hope had died with the Master. The dream of the kingdom that they had now disappeared, gone forever. 10 disciples huddled together in that upper room, full of fear. The doors barred. Thomas is absent. Judas has committed suicide by hanging. And the men are speaking in hushed tones. They were Jesus' closest friends and followers. He had been executed by authorities. As I said, they might be next. Suddenly they're aware of another person in the midst of them, in that upper room, and they become even more frightened now than before. And then this figure speaks in a familiar voice, and he says, "Peace be unto you. Peace be unto you." Wow. He showed them his pierced hands, his side, and they knew it was Jesus. And this remarkable appearance took place in the same upper room where he had eaten with the Master, where they had eaten with the Master. Jesus continued to appear with those who loved him, and on the next Sunday in that upper room, this time Thomas was present. And he appears to the disciples and to several other hundreds of people throughout Galilee. And after 40 days, he ascends to heaven. Act 3. And when they arrived, they went into the upstairs room in the house where they were staying. So we're back to the upper room again. And on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm. And it filled the house where they were sitting. And then what looked like flames, a tongue of fire, appeared and settled upon them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Jesus promised that if he went away, the Holy Spirit would come, and he did come. And thus the early church met for prayer in that same upper room. And on the feast of Pentecost, they were gathered when the sound of heaven just seemed to enter that place, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Inspired, they went out and they bore witness of their faith and the coming of the kingdom of God. I'm just wondering in my mind as I look at these events and thinking about what might happen if we all showed up here Wednesday night and came here every night praying for the filling of the Holy Spirit, what might happen to us? I don't know what God has in store. But prayer does powerful things. It can move mountains. It can move our hearts. And I get excited because I visualize what happens if that Spirit falls upon us after 10 days of prayer and all of a sudden we all become active and go out and visit our friends, our neighbors, and the people that are they're asking for studies. What would happen to Valley View Church after 10 days of prayer? And we're filled with a greater power of the Holy Spirit. What exciting day. That, friend, is going to happen. Why not now? Why not now? 10 days of prayer. 6:30 beginning Wednesday. Three great chapters in Christian history were written in that upper room. One, the Lord's Supper. Two, the risen Christ appears to his disciples. Three, and the Holy Spirit came down on this new church with power. We don't worship a place. We worship a person. And as surely as he was present in that upper room before and after his death, I want to assure you that he is present right now in this place as we worship him. The same Holy Spirit is here to save and to empower us. You believe it? Jesus has given us this magnificent legacy, and we appropriate it by faith. By faith. At this time, I'd like to dismiss you, the congregation, to practice what Jesus has shared with us as an example of servanthood and serving one another. And so, for those who would like to know, as we practice this serving one another, the families will go in the conference room, the women in the library, the men in the pastor's office and change room. And for the children, lucky you guys, you get to sit right here and listen to Angel Alvarez tell you a great story. Let us serve.
Thank you.
Seventh-day Adventists practice what we call open communion, which basically says that if you wish to partake, even though you're not a member of this church, you're more than welcome to do so. The elders will each be reading a word of Scripture, and then we will kneel, and the elders will pray over the bread and the wine.
For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes."
Father, as we come before you this morning, we recognize that the bread here represents the body that you had on this earth that went through so much suffering for us, the beatings, the crucifixion. And Lord, we pray that you will bless us, that we too will be willing to suffer for you. Guide us and direct us in all we do and say, and bless us today in a special way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Father, in the same way, we keep praying for this beautiful symbol of the blood of your sacrifice for each and every one of us. We understand and recognize that we're sinners and that we're full of imperfections, but in your hands we can be cleansed through it. Please bless us as we participate in this service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus said, "This is my body, broken for you." Then Jesus took the cup and he said, "This is my blood poured out for many. Drink ye all of it." And then Jesus continued and he says, "I tell you the truth, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God." Wow. Won't that be a great day? That's exciting. That's exciting. So as you leave today, the deacons will have a basket or something back there for you to give a chance to put in a love offering for the poor. And this concludes our service. And it basically says when the disciples got through, they sang and departed. So our song today is,
number 198. If you could all stand and sing with us. Thank you. Oh, 196, sorry.